Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome back to another episode of my podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome. I'm Shane Told. I'm your host as I take you into the backstage conversations that I have with other professional frontmen and frontwomen over all different genres. And this one, my friends, was actually a backstage conversation, which is good, which is rare, because sometimes they're over the phone. This one I got to do in person, which is really a lot of fun. And the guest, of course, is Ryan from One Step Closer, one of the freshest new straight edge hardcore bands out there. They're on tour with us right now, killing it every night. And they're just such nice guys, just playing such great, refreshing, kind of old school meets new school hardcore. It's just great. So we get into all about his upbringing and more and where the band is heading. And we get into some real questions to hear as well too. So this is a really, really great conversation. And thank you for being here and tuning in again. Please take a second right now and hit the subscribe or follow button on whatever platform you're listening to. There is one somewhere. So just go ahead and check that box, because that will go a long way in helping me out and keeping these podcasts getting delivered and, you know, the whole algorithm game. I'm not the best at promoting this thing. I rely on mostly word of mouth and you guys for telling your friends and loved ones. But I know that being, you know, following it or subscribing or whatever does go a long way in helping that out. So thank you for all you do. And if you want to support the show, check out the All Access Club. It is leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. For as little as $6 a month, you get in, you join an awesome, awesome group of other fans of the show. You get some swag, you get bonus episodes, bonus content, merchandise, and more. leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. Well, that's about it. Let's get into it. Here's my chat with Ryan from One Step Closer. Look at this, yeah. We got a little audience today.
This is awesome, yeah.
Our merch guy's eating some. Is that Panda Express?
Is it good or no?
Is it disgusting? It's got to be awful. And I feel like that food doesn't travel well.
Hell no.
It's not getting any better. I mean, maybe if you heat it up in the microwave, because, you know, the next day Chinese food thing is definitely a real phenomenon.
I don't know. I feel like my parents used to get Chinese food all the time when I was younger, so... I like that shit a lot. It's good.
I do too. I just don't know about Panda Express.
No.
You know what's really interesting though about American style Chinese food is that it's actually kind of like regional. Like,
yeah,
in New York, it's different than it is in, you know, like LA or whatever. And the craziest, weirdest, this is a stupid conversation we're having. But like, when you think of chow mein, do you think of noodles or no noodles?
Noodles.
Because it's not sometimes.
Really?
It's really weird. Sometimes you'll order it, like especially on the East Coast, like New York and stuff, you'll order chow mein and it will just be like, I don't know. Sometimes it'll come with like these little tiny hard noodles.
Yeah.
But not like the soft, like, you know, egg noodle style.
Yeah.
That's not real chow mein, apparently.
I always say like in our local Chinese spots, it's always lo mein.
Lo mein, yeah.
Yes. And that's always the noodles with...
Lo mein is like thin, shrimp, like, yeah, the thin noodle, yeah.
And so that's what I always get. But when I think chow mein, I think the same thing. I think it's noodles and
right.
Something. You know,
apparently not. It's confusing. Like there's, because I'm out in Las Vegas now, and I was trying to find similar Chinese food to what I have like in the Toronto area, because mm-hmm. it's different. And what I understood is that it's actually where I come from. It's more like Hong Kong style Chinese food. Not like mainland China.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
It's always different. Yeah. Anyway. Our local spots back home are so good though.
Oh yeah?
It's actually crazy. Yeah, we go to this one, like when I was younger, my parents used to order from this one called Peking Chef, and it was always so good. And then like I go to these other spots and I feel like, I don't know, sometimes they're good, but a lot of times they're pretty bad around the country.
I also think it's like you get used to your local one.
Yeah.
And everyone like, it's like you have it at a young age and you get used to it. And then it's like, oh, that's the one. And it's like, is it really that good? I don't know.
No, probably pretty bad. Yeah.
But anyway, I'm here with Ryan from One Step Closer. We're on tour. We're doing this interview in person, which is nice. Because so many of the times I do them over the phone. So I have a little, you know, we got a little face-to-face.
Yeah, it's fun this way.
We got a little audience. We're hanging out before our show in Tacoma, Washington. Have you ever played here?
No, we always played Seattle. We've only played Seattle, I think, two times, actually. But I know Tacoma always had was popular for their hardcore scene here and stuff like that. And there's no barricade tonight, which is awesome.
It's gonna be sick. It's gonna be kind of wild in there. Yeah. I'm getting a real, we're at the Alma, it's called. I'm getting a real European community center vibe in here.
Yes. I like it though. It's cool.
Like it kind of reminds me of an American version of, I don't know if you know Dynamo in Eindhoven.
Yeah, we played
it's
there before.
It's really giving me that kind of a vibe, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I was saying, I already talked to the promoter and stuff. I was like, this spot's awesome. I was like, this is perfect for exactly what the show's going to be. I think.
I mean, and I don't know. I always have trouble, and maybe it's the same for you, or maybe you're really good at this, but whenever I walk in a room, an empty room, I never have any idea what the capacity is. Sometimes I'll be in a room and be like, this place looks huge. And then oh, okay, there's 1,000 people here. It's it was full or whatever. And then other times you'll see a room and you'll be like, what? How the hell are we going to get 500 people in here?
Yeah.
And this one, I'm not sure. It could be insanely packed or it could be kind of empty. I don't know.
I have a feeling since it is sold out, they probably sold it pretty high. And I feel like it's going to be pretty packed.
I think so.
I think honestly, the shows with the barricade, you also lose that space of adding those extra 100 people or so, to really make it condensed. So I feel
that's true.
At these spots with no barricade, they're just selling it as high as they can and people are going to be shoulder to shoulder, really tight.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, yeah, we don't play too many shows without barricades anymore, but this will be the second one on the tour. The show in Austin was absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it was awesome.
We just had crowd surfers, literally stage divers, the entire show nonstop, which is
even for our set too, which was awesome. Yeah. The energy just started immediately, which was awesome. And kids were stoked. I love catching some dives as well, so it's always fun. I will try tonight as well, probably.
There you go. But, right on, man. Right on. Well, so it's nice to talk to you. Thanks for doing this. I got lots of questions and lots of things to ask you, but I'm mostly curious about your background because you're only, 23?
Yeah, I'm 23.
And the kind of music you guys play has a lot of deep-rooted influence in music that came well before your time.
Yeah,
you know,
100%.
I think I read that one of your biggest influences is Turning Point.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's practically before my time, and I'm 42. So, that seemed such a random one. And obviously Turning Point's a great band. And I think they really were ahead of their time.
I agree.
With the melodic, especially the melodic vocals and stuff like that. And I don't think they get enough credit, but just taking that one example of an influence, how did you hear about that band? How did you get into hardcore and, find out about that? And when did this all happen?
When I was a kid, one of my best friends growing up, his older brother was super involved with the Wilkes-Barre hardcore scene. So I was introduced to Title Fight when I was 10 years old. So that was my first, introduction into hardcore.
Because they were a current band at that time, I assume, right?
Yes.
And they were probably kind of the champions of your local scene as well?
Yeah, 100%. They were they were the ones that were doing everything. You know, they were touring, they were doing big tours, they were doing crazy, sold out headlining, shows, and they were always just insane. And so this was when I was 10, so that's probably 2010.
Yeah.
So that was right before they put out Shed. And then I went to my first show when I was 12 years old. It was a Title Fight show in Wilkes-Barre. Some of the older skate friends that we had that I grew up skating with were yo, you need to come to this show. There's a lot of cool bands on it so they kind of made me a playlist of the bands and were yo, you got to listen to these. I already know that you know Title Fight.
Right.
Listen to this. It was Title Fight, Cold World, Bad Seed. I don't know who else was on it, but it was a memorial for one of their friends that passed away. And, it changed my life. You know what I mean? Like I grew up, my dad's super into like music. He plays guitar. He plays in, you know, I was played in bands over the years, a bunch and stuff. And, so like my introduction to like punk and stuff like that was like Green Day and Blink-182, you know, but this was like something so new and like exciting to me. So
your dad listened to like, he listened to some punk rock, but kind of more on the mainstream side of things.
Yeah. He was like more of like a hair metal guy. So I like, I grew up listening
to
like
that much older than me.
He's 52, 53.
So, yeah. So that makes sense.
Yeah. So he grew up, you know, listening to like, he took me to my first concert when I was 5 years old to see Kiss, like kind of thing. Nice. You know what I mean? Yeah. Sure. So like I got to see, I grew up with that and like Van Halen and that kind of stuff, you know? So like, and then we, you know, my brother was also like kind of into punk stuff. So I think like
older brother,
it was just around. Yeah. I have an older brother. He was like into like punk and like Slipknot and like stuff like that. So like, I think it kind of just translated down to me once we like, you know, once I started growing up and stuff like that. And, but yeah, I was introduced to hardcore pretty young. And then, I started playing in bands when I was like 15, started playing guitar. And one of my friends that was in the band with us, he was a couple years older than me. He was like, yo, you should listen to this band Turning Point. I think you'd really like it. It kind of has like all the hardcore sounding stuff that you like with like a little bit more like melodic kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I literally listened to one song. It was Behind This Wall. And I like fell in love with the band. And I was like, this is everything I want like a hardcore band to sound like, pretty much. Which like... pretty much kind of changed my life and like how like, you know, a year later or a year and a half or whatever, when I was like about to turn 17, I was like, yo, we need to start a band that sounds like Turning Point. And that's kind of how One Step Closer started.
Cool. So you're a guitar player too. This is always the common theme on this show is no one's really a lead singer. Everyone is something else. Don't feel like a lead singer. Maybe feel a little bit out of place sometimes. So your dad plays guitar. Did you have guitars kind of kicking around the house and maybe your brother played too?
My brother never played. My dad started teaching me when I was 8. I got a Fender Strat at like 8 years old. My dad was like, if you could somehow save up some money, you know, doing yard work for people or like whatever, he's like, I'll put the other half and buy you a guitar. So he got me a guitar and I still have it. It's one of my good. Favorite guitars.
Never
ever.
Sell it, dude.
Yeah, exactly. I'm never going to. And then, so we did that and he started teaching me how to play guitar. And then I started learning how to play drums when I was like 14, 15. And then he got me a drum set and stuff. And so I've always done other things other than singing.
Right.
But when we started One Step Closer, I was like, I really want to sing in a band. I feel like I could connect... I connect with these songs and like the influence that I have, like in a way that I feel like I could like project it the right way. You know what I mean?
So you do a lot of the writing for One Step Closer too?
Yeah. From like up until like really, this last EP, I did like a big bulk of the writing for like everything. And then on this, like on our first LP, you know, everyone kind of started to chip in a little bit more and like add their influences and stuff like that. And then on this EP that we put out not too long ago, it felt like a little bit more of a collaborative effort on everybody's end, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, I've even been writing on this tour cause we're working on, you know, getting ready for the next LP as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, yeah. Songs for the Willow is your latest release. And it's just a 3-song EP, kind of came out sort of suddenly in January. It's different.
Yes.
And sometimes hardcore fans can be a little set in their ways.
100%.
You know, as like, obviously what attracted to me was hardcore, like, and I'm wearing a Strife hoodie, which is funny because you played the show when I got this in Buffalo, New York, which I kind of want to ask you about that later. But
yeah.
But you know, for me, it was like the fast, the visceral, like the pounding, you know, drums, like that was a really important part of hardcore to me, whether it was Strife or before that, like something like Minor Threat or Turning Point, even like just that really fast, those fast drums. And that's kind of absent on this EP, which on all your other releases, it was kind of a thing. Was that a choice you made consciously, or did that just kind of how the songs sort of turn out?
We kind of wanted to do something like a little bit more like we always use this word like driving. Like we want the song to be like driving, whether it's vocally or like drum wise or guitar wise. Like it needs to feel like you want to get off this, you know, get up on the stage and jump off it pretty much. That's like with these songs in mind, we pretty much were like, let's go for really good sing along and parts that people could stage dive to. And like, it just feels like a, for us, like a natural progression of like what our influences are and like what we've always kind of wanted to do. We kind of were just like, yeah, let's like lean more into like what we did on some of the songs on the LP, like Pringle Street and stuff like that, that were just more of like a, you know, a catchy chorus with like some really good like stage dive parts, you know what I mean? And stuff like that.
Okay.
So like we just wanted to try something a little different. We've done a lot of fast songs, you know, and like,
right.
It felt good to like kind of like think in a different way, you know what I mean? And approach a song a little differently this time around.
Totally. And vocally, you know, you have a really interesting voice where you're like, you're not really singing, you're not really screaming.
Yeah.
You're kind of like in this middle threshold where I guess like, how calculated are you with like your melodies, with your notes? Like, is a lot of it by feel? Because I feel like there's so much emotion in what you're doing and the lyrics and all that kind of factors in. But I really wonder if it's like, okay, I got these page of lyrics and I kind of know how it's going and I'm going to perform it and then see kind of how it comes out and tweak it from there. Is that sort of the approach?
That's kind of exactly what I do. I'll like, sometimes I'll come up with a melody, you know, right off the bat and be like, yeah, this is like how it kind of feels like it should go. But it's, I kind of try to put my own flair on it where sometimes I'll like yell into a sing or like kind of like yell,
right,
like sing and then into like a more of a scream, you know what I mean? And that feels like that part, it just kind of feels like I have to do it naturally and see how it feels when I'm like performing it and whatever comes out, that's kind of like how it goes. And then like, if it doesn't feel right or there needs to be tweaked, like we'll do that. But this was the first time around on these new songs where I was like trying to hit specific notes more so. And, you know, like still trying to keep it my style of like the way I do it, but, just kind of, you know, testing my ability of like what I could do as a singer, you know?
Right. And is it the same producer that you've been working with or have you been switching it up?
This is,
I should look that up.
No, this is someone different. We did the EP with this dude, John Markson. He does like all the Drug Church stuff. He did the Koyo EP.
He did
Soul Blinds EP. And, he's worked with a bunch of other bands as well, but like, he's awesome. He's a PA dude that like is literally the best. And, you know, we vibe super well with him. So before we did the LP with this dude, Eric Chesick, who's like one of our really good friends from back home. But he also knows the band really well. So that was like a really cool experience, like working with him and doing that too.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Well, I know this material is super fresh. The record is not even that old, the full length.
No.
But I will say, I've been on tour with you and I've seen a couple notable producers out at the shows. So I wonder if maybe there's some chatter about maybe the next release. And if you guys are kind of already sort of planning it, I mean, you did just say you've already been writing a little bit on this tour.
Yeah. So before we left for this tour, I demoed, I think like 5 or 6 songs, with my friend Eric, who did the LP. So I went to Long Island and just like demoed some songs with him. And then, we've just been having, you know, some people come out and like just hang out and meet us and like stuff like that, for like producing stuff. But the plan is pretty much record the next record in the fall.
Okay.
So, you know, we have a good batch of songs like outside of the ones that are demoed already too. And, we're just trying to just continue, you know, the pace of just like writing and like while we're in this like creative mindset, we're just going to kind of keep the ball rolling and see how many songs we,
right,
you know, come out with.
Right. And the hardcore, I don't know what that sound is. If you can hear that on the recording, I apologize. The hardcore scene can be quite incestuous. And I know you've played guitar in some other bands. Are you guys all kind of now free and clear and all focusing on One Step Closer, or are there a bunch of side projects that you're still doing?
Well, right now Everyone is pretty much just doing One Step Closer. Coleman does A Knife in the Dark, which is like a heavier, like more metallic hardcore band. They don't tour very often. It's kind of more of like a fun project whenever everybody's around to do it. But like, you know, he's focusing on One Step Closer. We have Connor filling in on drums, who will probably just end up being a part of the band at this point, you know. But
nice guy.
Yeah, he plays...
Great drummer.
He is a great drummer. He plays in a band called Magnitude, which they're kind of busier. It just depends because they don't really have the ability to tour all the time like that, because a lot of their members like are either have either full-time jobs or like have other projects that also are like busy. So I would say, yeah, for the most part, like everyone is like just focusing in on this, which is cool and it feels good.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you're a straight-ish band and yes. This is something that you're not shy about kind of putting out there.
Like yes.
I think it says right on your Instagram page, like Wilkes Barre straight edge.
Yep.
And that can be tricky. Sometimes because obviously you know your own convictions and what you believe, and I'm sure the other guys in the band probably do, but as you've seen many times in scenes, and I'm wearing a Strife hoodie again,
yep,
there are bands that are no longer straight edge, and sometimes that can be a career ender, right?
Yeah,
or it can break up the band or whatever. Of course there are bands that, I mean, you know, the founder of Straight Edge, Ian McKay, however I've heard it said both ways, he's not Straight Edge anymore, for example. So there is always this, you know, this, I don't know. Shelf life is a very bad word, but it is something that you put out there that can be maybe a little scary if like you catch your guitar player having a couple drinks like one night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So talk to me about like straight edge in your life and how you got here, and like I guess my biggest question is, when you started this band, was it 100% like we have to be a straight edge band, like Turning Point for example, who also they had
also Broke Edge
sadly rest in peace to their vocalist, but was that something that like a conscious thing, or did it just sort of like pan out that way?
When we started the band, I wanted it to be a straight edge band for sure. Cause at that time I was like I said, 16 going on 17. And, all I cared about was straight edge and hardcore. You know, that was like my entire life. That was like my entire personality. And, I think I just wanted to be true to like what our inspirations were. And, so we've been a straight edge band, you know, ever since. The interesting thing is that like I've never really written a straight edge song or lyrics about being straight edge really. It's always been a lot more interpersonal kind of things, like, you know, like this last EP was really written like a lot about like touring and being away from home and kind of seeing how the last year has affected like a lot of our friendships and relationships with people.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And then yeah. So I've never really like written about straight edge. Like I, you know, we all stand by it and believe in what it is. And like, that is a part of my life, but I never felt the need of like being like, yeah, we're like a militant straight edge band.
Right.
You know, does that make sense? But yeah, I mean, I was, I literally found straight edge because of, again, like the kids I used to like grow up skating with and like, you know, my family and my, has had, you know, a history of like, you know, drug problems and like, so my brother, you know, in and out of rehab when I was very young. And I think that kind of like changed my perspective on a lot of things. So I've just never really been a fan of just like substance abuse and stuff like that. I think it kind of scarred me when I was younger.
Totally.
So I always felt like I was kind of out. Like I always felt like an outcast compared to like a lot of the kids in like, you know, high school, middle school, when everyone's like starting to experiment with like smoking weed or smoking cigarettes or like something like that. So when I found straight edge, I felt like I really belonged to something.
Right.
And it felt like I was just like meant to find out about it. And I was like, yes, like that is exactly what I've been, you know, believing in for a long time. And like, it's cool that there's something like a community for that.
For sure.
You know? So, Yeah, I think I claimed edge when I was like 14. So I'm 23 now, going to be 24.
Have you ever drank or smoked or anything?
I drank one time at a party when I was 14. And then like 2 weeks later, I was like, yeah, I don't ever want to do that shit ever again. And
good.
So I claimed edge and that was it.
Yeah.
I haven't touched anything ever since.
Well, our drummer is straight edge for life. He's never had a drink in his whole life.
That's amazing.
Never.
I love Paul. So,
yeah. And he's almost 40.
Yeah.
And there's no way he'd ever break edge. That's for sure. Never.
Yeah.
So yeah, I said I would talk about it. So I will. The show in Buffalo, New York, the California Takeover Revisited, I don't know how many, 20 years later, 25 years later, with Snapcase, Earth Crisis, and Strife. Obviously, pivotal figures in the straight edge movement back in the 90s.
100%.
Were you into these bands? Did you find out about these bands? Obviously, you know, at some point you heard about them, but were they an influence at all?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I found Strife and Snapcase a little bit later, like when I was like probably like 18, 19, but I discovered Earth Crisis like super early. Like Firestorm is, you know, that was like a pivotal record.
It's an anthem, man.
Yeah, exactly. So like that entire record, like when I was younger, was super important to me. Just like being like, wow, these dudes are so militant about being straight edge.
And
I think this is so cool, right? Yeah. And
oh,
I was like,
man,
I was like, this is
great.
So sick. And so yeah, that was like probably when I was like 15, 16, discovering Earth Crisis. And then, yeah, like I said, 18, 19, when there was like kind of in the hardcore scene, this big like 90s revival of like that kind of sound. Like there was bands like Magnitude and Eco Strike and stuff like that, who are kind of pulling from like that Strife, Snapcase, like Worship kind of like 90s style hardcore. So when there was that big, like, you know, resurgence in the scene of like those kinds of bands, that's when I kind of found out about a lot more of the 90s bands that I was kind of missing out on for like a long time.
No, totally. All the Victory Records stuff was, you know,
yeah,
was really important. I'll tell you, the owner of Victory Records is sure as hell not straight edge. That's for sure. another big thing that, you know, you guys are really into skateboarding.
Yes.
And like every day I catch you just outside right now. I see it, you know, I see you landing some. Was that like a Nollie 180? Are you trying to do there?
Yeah, we were doing, we were playing a game of skate. I did like a Nollie big spin and like stuff like that.
Yeah. Nice.
I hurt my ankle really bad at Sound and Fury this past year. Cause I got like pulled off the stage and I rolled it really bad.
So not skateboarding.
Not skateboarding, which is crazy, but I hurt it worse than I ever have skateboarding at Sound and Fury. And, just it took like the last like straight up like 7-8 months of my life to like really get it back to like almost normal, and it's not even 100%. So I'm still like afraid to like get back on the board and like skate for real. So I'll just like cruise around and do like 180s and like little stuff where I don't have to like land hard or like, you know, worry about rolling my ankle.
Right.
Really.
So you guys aren't, that was my next question, like you guys aren't going to skate parks and like, you know, dropping in vert ramps or anything. Like that's way too scary.
Yeah. We're street skaters.
Like your drummer breaks an arm or something. And
yes,
it's a problem.
Yeah. On tour, it's a little different. Well, like we'll hit a skate park here and there on tours for sure. But we mainly streets like our skate streets. So we're skating like ledges and rails and like stuff like that.
Still fuck yourself up pretty good.
Yes. And we do. Don't get me wrong. We do. But it's like, that's fun. We've had a lot of tours where like, if there's another band that skates on the tour, like we did a tour with Terror, Drain, and Dare, like fall of 2021, like right when things started to come back. We were skating with Dare like almost every single day. We'd meet them at a skate park or just like skate outside the venue. You know what I mean? Like fun stuff like that. So like
that rules.
Yeah. So like we do normally skate a lot. I've just been trying to take it easy because even jumping around on it on stage and stuff like that has been kind of keeping me from healing. So I'm trying to hold off, but now that it's starting to get warm, I'm really tempted every day to skate.
Yeah. It's a nice day today.
Yeah.
That rules, man. So what's coming up? You guys have obviously been touring nonstop, like crazy.
Yeah.
I assume that's going to continue. I mean, that's obviously a big part of what you do. But it's a lot, right?
Yeah, it's been, this is like the first tour now where I feel like after the last like 5 months of touring where I'm like tired, you know, like I'm like, you know, I'm waking up and I'm like, I still could use like another 4 or 5 hours of sleep kind of thing, you know? But, yeah, I'm like, we've been touring nonstop for like the last, especially the last like year, pretty much just like back to back to back tours, going home for like 2-3 weeks, maybe less, and then starting another tour, you know? But we wrapped this up, beginning of May, like May 7th or, whenever.
Yep.
And then, we go home actually and have like a nice break. We're home for like 5 weeks, which will be nice. We do like one festival in Canada, I think, in that time. And then we go to Europe for like 2.5 weeks. We do like Outbreak Fest and, a bunch of other festivals and just like a small run with Comeback Kid in Europe and stuff. So we're about to announce that, I think, in like a couple of days. And then we're off for a little while other than just like some random here and there shows, but we're going to use that time off to, finish writing, you know, doing a bunch of demoing and stuff like that, get in the studio in the fall, record a record. And then, we have another US tour planned for like late October into early December.
Wow. Go, go, go.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you guys are in a place kind of in your career, and in your lives, I guess, where you're young enough that you can still kind of do all this stuff. Like, I don't think any of you have children, for example, or any of you are married.
No.
I assume a lot of you still live at home.
Yeah.
So you kind of, you're able to do that sort of come and go as you please, like save up a little bit of money, but you don't have to worry about rent, and you know, you can probably get your parents to order Chinese food for you, you know, once in a while.
Yeah.
And that's obviously a blessing, but that's also tough because like, you know, do you feel like there's a ceiling for this band? Like obviously for Silverstein, when we started, all my favorite hardcore bands, like Bands on Victory or whatever, it was like they put out 2 records and they break up. And then, you know, you go back to like the real world.
Yeah.
Like I was fully intending on going back to college and getting my degree. I even did homework in the back of the van. Like I did some correspondence courses.
Yeah.
Which seems ridiculous now. But at the time, you know, I just didn't think that there was any way this could be like a career.
Yeah.
So like in your mind right now, I mean, you're just coming off, you know, your second EP, you have one LP under your belt. You've only been in this for a few years, you know, but you see bands like Turnstile, what they have turned into, you know, just a force to be reckoned with. And other bands, you know, in the scene that are just growing, you know, I mean, I see it as the sky's the limit, but there's also a reality there. Have you thought about that?
It's a scary thought for sure.
I know it is. That's what I'm asking you. It's a tough question.
Very, very scary. I definitely think about it all the time. I think sometimes I second guess everything. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? You know,
right.
What am I doing with my life? And like, why am I doing this? And then there's that moment of realization, like 15 minutes later, I'm like, it's just cause I love this. And why would I not want to do this right now? You know? But I don't know. I think in my head, it's like the sky's the limit with One Step Closer. I think with the way that I feel like we're just kind of naturally going, I feel like, you know, the sound might change slightly, but it's not going to be like, oh my God, this is so jarringly different than what they sounded like on this or on the EP or something like that. You know what I mean? It's like, I think that we could, you know, play in front of a bunch of different kinds of audiences and, you know, hopefully have people like us. And I don't know. I see what all these other bands have done and like even what Silverstein has done, you know, over these last, you know, you guys have been a band for over 20 years, you know? And it's like, you look at your trajectory and your career. And it's like, I think that, you know, maybe we might be able to follow the same and maybe we won't, who knows. But if I don't try,
right,
then I'm going to be wondering what if, you know, forever.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, something I don't really want to do. But yeah, even like bands like Turnstile and Knocked Loose, like look at how they're massive. You know what I mean? And they just worked hard and toured a lot and, you know, put out good music that connected with people enough that like now they're playing massive rooms and are super successful. And, you know, I'm sure are, you know, their hard work paid off, you know, and I'm hoping that our hard work continues to pay off as well.
I love that. That's a fucking good answer. Dude, you're a pretty good interview, man.
Thanks, man.
A lot of times, like, I talk to younger people and it's like, no offense to your generation, but it's like, okay, you're going to give me a one word response back? Like, that's not going to fly, man. This is a podcast. We're having a conversation.
I enjoy talking to people, honestly. Yeah. I really do. I like sitting down and having a conversation. I like sitting down and talking about real life kind of stuff. I like getting into the nitty gritty kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of friends back, like there's like three specific people that I could think of back home that whenever I see them, we sit and just talk for hours.
Right.
You know what I mean? About life and about, you know, a bunch of different kinds of stuff. But I really enjoy that kind of connection with people.
Well, you're a smart guy too. I mean, you did do some post-secondary stuff, right? You went to college for a bit. I know that there was some talk of maybe pursuing that in a greater detail, like getting a degree or whatever. Obviously, the band... Here we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. So I did 2 years at a community college. I applied to a bunch of different schools. I got into a couple of the ones that I really wanted to go to, but I was really torn on like what I wanted to do with my life really in general. So I just decided to do 2 years at a community college, and then the band started to really pick up. So once I finished those 2 years, I was just like, I'm just going to do the band and tour a bunch and just like live that part of my life and see what happens. And then, you know, if all else fails, I'll go back and get my bachelor's degree and, you know, probably like graphic design or something like that. Cause that's usually like me and Ross are like super graphic design heavy. And I like are good with like Photoshop and like the more creative aspects of the band.
Right. So you do, I assume then you do a lot of the merch designing and a lot of the kind of creative.
Yeah. It's mainly
visual side.
It's mainly Ross who does a lot of that, but like, it's me and him kind of bouncing ideas a lot off each other, but he is like the driving force behind the merch and like stuff like that. He's really got an eye for that kind of stuff and is like really good with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've always, you know, loved design and stuff like that. So if I went back to school, I'd probably do like graphic design or like, you know, do like clothing design or something like that. Cause I really enjoy fashion and stuff like that as well.
Nice. Yes. Yeah. I like this shirt you're wearing.
Hey,
actually.
Thanks.
I've been meaning to compliment you on it.
It's got this crazy back print on it.
It is. Yeah. Like I might have to take a picture of this shirt to post somewhere in the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's wild. It's very, I mean, obviously everything 90s is like back, but that I could totally see.
Yes.
Straight out of the 90s.
It's this brand called Pop Trading Company.
You got the hoodie there too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, our friend Wilson, who used to work for a company called Braindead. And he recently started taking on like a bunch of different companies. So whenever we're in LA, like we played 1720 on that off day show that we did in LA. And he was like, yo, come to the warehouse. Like I want to give you guys a bunch of shit. And like, you know, when it's all awesome. So we're just wearing it all the time. And yeah,
it is. Yeah. Awesome. So that's fantastic.
But, yeah. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for doing this, man. Anything else to tell the people?
No, I don't.
Anything you want to plug?
I don't really have that much other than just, yeah, look out for a new record, hopefully early next year. And I hope it's sick, you know?
It'll be on Run for
yes,
Cover?
Yes, Run for Cover.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's about it. We're going to be touring a bunch still and like, you know, hopefully all this touring and then we'll finally do a headliner next year.
Let's go.
Yeah.
We need one.
Yes, definitely.
Ryan, thanks so much, man.
Yes. Thank you, Shane. Appreciate it.
So there it is with Ryan of One Step Closer. What a nice guy. And it was really fun to do this in person on tour. And sorry for some of the background noise we probably had and whatnot, but it's always fun to do it that way. And I want to thank Ryan for taking the time on tour to speak with me. The new EP, Songs for the Willow, is out now. I'm going to play you the first track from that EP, but make sure you go listen to the rest. And when you're done, check out the full length too that came out just a couple years ago, This Place You Know. Here is a new one from One Step Closer, Dark Blue, on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next time.